Running a Shopify store and drowning in shipping chaos? ShipStation can fix this for you. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels with advanced automation, batch processing, and shipping discounts that a single platform just doesn't offer. Like discounts up to 90% off major carriers. See how ShipStation can make shipping for your Shopify store better. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
A woman was attacked by a bull while on a beach in Mexico, in Cabo. Reports are saying that she was like playing and messing around with the bull, but that's not what happened. I watched the whole video and her food was like, you know, when you pack your picnic for the beach, the bull was going into it. So she went to like tell the bull to get away.
Oh, I mean, that doesn't make her any more intelligent than the reports that I heard.
I mean, I agree. Like, if a bull wants your sandwich, I probably would give the bull the sandwich.
He's
right?
got the sandwich. Even if he kissed the sandwich, you wouldn't take your sandwich back if one of your friends licked it. You're going to get it back because a bull licked it?
It was weird, though, because when I was watching it, I'm like, what is she doing? And then I'm like, is it so common that there's bulls on the beach in Mexico that they're not even afraid of them? So here's a news report as the attack was going on.
Before the bull attacked, someone yelled at the woman saying, quote, lady, you're really playing with it right now. Please don't do that. She refused to move away. Moments later, the bull charged at her, shoving the woman into the sand. The woman got up and was then pushed back down again. The bull ran away after a bystander threw water on it. Authorities say it is normal for livestock to roam the coastline because many ranchers are located near the beaches.
Wow.
I mean, keep that in mind the next time I'm booking a trip to Cabo.
Right, exactly. Can I stay on the beach that doesn't have the bulls, please?
In Cancun, there are no ranches. That's there's no ranches that I remember anyways.
I just thought it was so strange how everybody was so calm while there was just this giant bull wandering on the beach. Like, they were just suntanning and having a grand old time.
Well, you know, when you're on vacation, right? I mean, as a tourist, I've been on plenty of beaches where you see wildlife or whatever that you didn't expect to see there.
Yeah.
I mean, there's always the guy walking around with, like, the monkey, right? He'll put the monkey on your shoulder. You take a photo, blah, 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 with the monkey. There's the iguana guy.
Oh, I've seen a lot of wild iguanas, which I guess depending on where you live in the country may be normal. But yeah. For me, it's still jarring. It looks like a dinosaur that's just like very small wandering around.
You feel lucky if you see a sea turtle, right? Like, you know, you don't want to mess with that guy. You hope nobody's carrying that around. But, you know, you might see a sea turtle. And then there's other wildlife that you see on the beach.
Well, I mean, my problem is always the seagulls. Like, you know, the minute you open a bag of chips, they come in for the kill. And it's like every time you see a child open a bag of chips, you're like, no, because they throw one or they'll drop one. And then you have to abandon ship and move a spot because they're going to swarm you.
Imagine if all those birds were bulls. You know, I mean, typically I'm shooing other things away, right? Like the guy who's walking around selling the Cuban cigars. They're not real. They're not real, bro.
Unless they're real.
Right, but that's how they get you, right? You're a couple tequila shots in. Or the lady that's walking around with the necklaces or the bathing suit cover-ups. There's no way that's real silver.
Well, if you're on one of those boardwalk places, they try to sell, like, they take the picture and they make it into the keychain, right? And I'm a sucker for that. If I'm, like, with my group, my friends, and we're together, I'm like, come on, guys, everybody get together. Let's get one of these pictures done. Let's make it into keychains. You hear about all these health benefits of cold plunging and the cryo chambers, but are they actually good for you? And should you be doing it too? Let's check in with the experts.
Healthwise with Dr. Wider, the Anna and Raven Show.
Dr. Wider, you can find her online at drwider.com. Jenna, you know, I feel like you see these places popping up. I know iCryo, I've checked out their cryo chamber. I love it. Like, do you think that this has real good health benefits going forward and it's going to become kind of like part of our routine?
I mean, the ice bath is a thing.
Yeah.
One of the things that is amazing about this cold immersion therapy, particularly the bath, is that if you get into water that's less than 60 degrees Fahrenheit, the studies show us that your blood vessels constrict and then they dilate, which is supposed to enhance circulation, which shows a lot of benefits for metabolism and joint pain. And there are definitely studies that show us that it lowers inflammation. One of the issues that people need to be aware of, though, is you can't assume that everybody responds the same way to cold.
Jenna, there was a time where I was doing Tough Mudders. I don't know if you're familiar with them or remember them.
Yes, totally.
So I was doing one where we had to go. There was a giant dumpster, and it was an ice bath. And it was freezing, and you had to swim underneath a barbed wire in the ice bath.
Oh, my gosh.
In the dumpster.
Yeah, that sounds like a great idea.
Yeah, I did it. But like, here's the thing, is that what I didn't realize, like, it was hot. It was hot out that day. So I'm like, I can't wait to hit that cold water because I was, like, dying of sweat. It was, like, mile 8 or something like that.
Oh, my God.
It knocked the wind out of me.
Oh, yeah, it hurts.
So I didn't realize it. Like, I jumped in, and all of a sudden, it was like pins and needles all over my body, and I, like, couldn't catch my breath. Like, that kind of shock to your body is crazy, and I feel like it's got to be doing something.
Well, the polar plunge is, you know, that's why they always have an EMS on standby, right? Because the hot to cold, that extreme. Obviously, you were outside. You were running.
Right.
It's actually dangerous, because let's say that there were people in the Tough Mudder, right, that have issues, or potentially you're exhausted if you're at mile 8 there. When you submerge yourself in cold water, you can feel disoriented. And oftentimes, like, the blood is shunted away from your extremities to your heart to protect your heart. That's just the way the body works. You know, some people might actually panic. And if the wind is knocked out of you, it can be emergent. And it's really, really important to understand your medical comorbidities or your family history of disease before you cold plunge. In a situation like that, would require medical personnel.
I mean, most importantly, hopefully you kept your mouth completely shut.
Oh, I did.
Because you got dumpster water mouth.
Well,
that's what happened.
It was filled with clean water.
Yeah,
and
it's
ice.
Still a dumpster. It was a dumpster at some point.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
I'll never forget that moment. But do you think there's a difference between, like, the dry cold of when you go in the cryo chambers that are popping up everywhere versus the actual cold plunge when you're, like, in a bucket filled with water and ice?
A dumpster.
I really do. Some people end up submerging their head under the water, and it's at that point where you can get into a lot of danger, especially if you feel disoriented.
But I do have to say, like, the cryo chamber, I was a skeptic, probably like everybody else. Like, well, you know, what is this? What does it do? The first time I ever did it, I said to, like, the woman afterwards, like, I saw her a few days later, I was like, I was in the best mood of my life, like, later on. She's like, yeah, it does that, the endorphins, it makes you feel really good. And she's like, yeah, and it burns, like, 500 calories. And I was like, wait a minute, this is going to be... like, is this magic? Is it, you know, like, there's got to be a lot of health benefits of the cold, too, right?
Definitely. And they're proving to the point that you may want to record all of your radio segments from this cold chamber because it has so many health benefits.
Dr. Jennifer Wider. You can find her online at drwider.com. Thanks, Jenna.
Thanks, guys.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 Have something that's driving you crazy right now? This is your chance to get it off your chest. 1-800-330-9999. Gabe, what's driving you nuts?
If you don't dress professionally when you go to a job interview, that's all I need to know about you.
Did somebody show up at your job interview and not be dressed professionally?
Yeah, it's the shoes. It's the big thing with the shoes. Like, wear dress shoes. Like, we all know, and we all know what dress shoes are. Like, if they're clearly, like, with the white sole, like, you know, if that's a tennis shoe, if it's not like a dark rubber sole that's thin, that's like trying to match the, like, you know, the hard sole of like a dress shoe, then it's not a dress shoe. And I don't care what else you're wearing. You've ruined the whole outfit and it's not professional. We don't wear tennis shoes. Like, we're going to go jogging later.
But is it a company?
To a job interview or to work?
Is it a corporate company? What is the job for?
Yeah. No, it's a corporate company.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's. I mean, some people are old school and they like it like that.
I mean, if you're wearing slacks, it says to me you're wearing dress shoes, right? I mean, if you're going to an interview, you're most likely wearing slacks. And honestly, it doesn't even matter what the position really is,
I mean,
right?
My husband is in his mid 40s, and I mean, he's 44. And is that how old he is? How old is Paul?
I mean, he's got to be around there.
He's 45. But, yeah, my husband is 45 years old, and he gets so upset when people that underneath him don't dress properly.
Mm.
It, like, really bothers him.
Well, because it's part of, you know, showing up and being ready, right? Mm-hmm. And the respect of the position, right? And if you feel like, you know, those things aren't being honored, you're like, you know, again, this is not a casual situation. We are here to work.
Jackie, that's all I need to know about you.
If you make a life-altering decision without consulting your spouse first, that's all I need to know about you.
Oh, my gosh. Who did that?
I'm guessing. What?
Yeah. My husband decided to move my mother-in-law in without asking or talking to me. Just she showed up with her bags one day.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, did he know your answer was going to be no?
I mean, who wouldn't say no?
Okay. So, there's that.
Oh,
there's that.
I can't even imagine. You should have your own segment. Forget just calling for all I need. You just want to call and vent or come on couples court. We're available.
And she's healthy and fine.
She's healthy. Yeah. She's fine. And she likes to rule the whole house. It's her house now.
Oh, I'm sorry. No. Sorry, Jackie. I wish you the best. We'll be here for you. Okay.
Hey, Rebecca. That's all I need to know about you.
If your son backs out of prom because he wants to go away for the weekend and leaves my daughter without a date, that's all I need to know about you.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's tough. That's terrible, right?
Mm. I know, right?
I mean, obviously, I would think that the kid just got anxious or nervous or whatever, or maybe he's just a jerk, you know? I mean, that's the thing. When you're 17, 18, you don't know better. You really don't, right? So it
is
kind of on his parents to say, hey, listen, what you're doing is not right here. Yeah. It's not, you know, it's not okay.
Well, I feel terrible for your daughter. I'm sorry.
Yeah. That's,
Thank you.
That's horrible.
All this month, leading up to Memorial Day weekend, the unofficial start to summer, we are broadcasting outside with 6-time Emmy-nominated chef, Chef Plum, talking about barbecuing. And today, what are we making?
So I want to talk skewers, shish kebab.
Shish kebab.
What a summer staple. Mm-hmm. I remember those were good shish kebab, right?
Yes.
There's a couple things I can show you that kind of makes a shish kebab work a little bit better. Now, the key thing is if you have those metal skewers, those work fantastic.
All right, great.
But not everybody has those. A lot of us have, you know, these bamboo ones, right?
The wood ones.
Right. And what do? You put them on the fire, and what do? They burn. They catch on fire, and the tips break.
Wait,
and they break in the middle.
Why did we put it on the fire? Did we want to actually light something on fire?
I want to show you how they catch on fire.
Okay.
So you can see, it all burns up.
No wood set on fire.
So
you're right.
Is that good or is that bad? That's bad.
Bad.
Okay.
I'm going to show you how to stop that. So a lot of people you'll see on the internet tell you, hey, soak your skewers before you make your kebabs out of them, right? Soak them. Yeah, I'm with that. Totally. Soak your skewers, but let's soak them in something flavorful so you get a little extra flavor out of it, right? So I've got this cup full of lemonade. Right, you can use soda, you can use beer. This is lemonade, and I'm gonna take my skewers out, and I'll let them sit in here, you know, 10, 20 minutes,
really?
Up to a day. Just let them hang out in there before you use them.
Well, it tastes like lemonade.
You'll get some of that flavor out of it. Yes, it's not gonna taste like a lemonade thing, but you're gonna get flavor out of it as opposed to getting nothing out of it. And
then it's less flammable.
It won't catch on fire right away. So it's really, really important to do that. Now, the other thing to do when you make skewers is, right before you actually cook them, is when you want to skewer them, right? Because they start to dry out more. And that's what you don't want. So you want to keep a skewer right before you get ready to cook with them. What I like to do is...
So when the grocery store sells them packaged like that,
you
shouldn't buy it. You should just do it yourself because it's not as fresh.
You can take them off and it's just not as good.
Okay.
And what happens is they don't get soaked either.
Okay.
You know what I like too here is another way to keep those sticks from getting burnt is just shove so much stuff on your skewer it doesn't even actually have a chance to burn.
But then the ends get burnt up,
That's one thing, but...
So one of the fun things I like to do with this, I'll put a little lime juice on here, right? Mm-hmm. And then I actually will put a little mayo.
Mayo?
Mayo is just like, you can use mayo like butter, and it adds so much flavor, right?
Really?
A little bit of mayonnaise on there. Take my spoon there, we'll brush it around.
Never before have I seen this.
Put a little mayonnaise on a grilled cheese instead of butter, it'll change your life.
I've done that on grilled cheese, but I've never seen it before.
No?
On anything like this.
A little sriracha on there, and then I'm going to hit it with a little bit of mustard as well.
You basically just took every single condiment that's in the refrigerator and put it on top of these skewers.
But this makes a great, it adds so much flavor and it kind of gives a little crust on the outside too. And you want to get both sides of it. We'll act like I got both sides of it.
Okay.
And we'll take this. We're going to put these down right on our fire and let them ride. And what's going to happen is they'll start to char up on the outside, get that crust on the outside, and that adds so much flavor putting that little bit of sauce on there. You can mix it up ahead of time, pour it on there. I've learned that doesn't make a difference. I'll just put it on there and just smear it with a spoon. Works fantastic. And don't forget, friends, very important, salt your food. Always want to salt your food, right? Salt means flavor. We'll go crazy with it, but don't be scared of it either. There we go. I don't normally like to add a little...
The grill likes the salt.
There we go. I don't like to put pepper on things on the grill. I like to finish with pepper.
Okay.
You remember why we talked about this?
Because pepper burns. Boom!
And it gets a B+ for the day.
Thank you.
B+. So yeah, we're going to close this up, let these guys start to cook up. And when you're doing kebabs, just remember, soak your skewers. Don't skewer stuff till you're ready to cook with it and add something to give a little flavor to it. It makes a giant difference.
All right, you can check out the video on our Instagram at Anna and Raven and follow Chef Plum. Chef_Plum?
Chef_Plum.
You got it.
My favorite place to be, Anna's app.
It really is. It is. Raven will normally make references that are so outdated on this show and think that they're completely normal and people know what he's talking about.
It's totally true that people do know what I'm talking about because that's the part of the aspect of my personality that they love.
Okay. 2 days ago, at exactly this time, Raven said this. It's the first of its kind in America, a portal to see overseas. So it's basically, it looks like a big circle thing, and you look into it, and it's a street in Dublin.
Yeah. Don't try to jump through it like Stargate or something like that. I mean, the reference makes sense. It totally makes sense. I'm just saying, if you want to explain it, John, we're going to have to go through the time machine.
Yeah. The problem is that nobody knows what Stargate is. And we pulled a clip because it'll certainly not jog your memory.
He's right. I was in front of us the whole time.
Jackson has identified the seventh symbol.
Go ahead.
Programming seventh symbol into computer. Chevron 1 is holding.
No one knows what this is.
I mean, this is the worst clip that you could pull from this to try and explain what this actually is. But that's all right. It's fine. It's James Spader. He's just, you know, identified the seventh Chevron and whatever it is that we was talking about, and they said
clearly said symbol.
Well, whatever. When they lock him in, the seven go through, and then the room starts shaking, and then they send in a probe, and then it's on a different planet. All right, it's very interesting. Is all I'm saying.
Producer John, please explain what is Stargate for all of us that have no idea what he's talking about.
Oh, I'm so excited to do this. So Stargate's a 1994 science fiction action movie starring James Spader.
James Spader
and Raven's fake best friend Kurt Russell.
Kurt Russell. I mean, I need to say more. He wears a beret.
And that makes this reference 30 years old. It's about an ancient Egyptian portal that transports a group of U.S. Special Forces soldiers to an alien galaxy where they must defeat the bad guy. So it's kind of like The Mummy and Independence Day and Fifth Element, kind of all rolled into one.
I mean, I'm pretty sure the girl from The Fifth Element, well, it's not that one, the same girl, but there's another girl in there. She doesn't speak English and becomes James Spader's girlfriend.
Yeah.
I mean, it's basically the same movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anyway, it didn't win any awards. It received mixed reviews. It did gross $196 million off a $55 million budget. That's pretty good. And it did spawn entirely too many TV spinoffs that ran until 2018. Nobody watched the spinoffs, but they continued to run. It was like The Walking Dead.
I mean, $200 million in what year was that, John? I mean, they could have basically built the Panama Canal, all right? Like, I mean, that's a big deal.
Raven, defend yourself on why you think that people actually know what Stargate is.
I mean, Kurt Russell wore a beret, carried a submachine gun, and James Spader came up with an alien girlfriend. And then they like cracked, it wasn't cold fusion, but it was something. It was like free energy. I mean, seemed like a good idea to me. To
cool, man.
Reference that.
It's really cool.
Yeah, the people definitely knew what you were talking about.
I love this game. This is fun for me.
Anna and Raven's Pick'em News.
All right, three news stories. Number one, two arrested after walking out of store with cash register.
I mean, that's going to be hard to explain. Sorry, just put it in the cart by accident.
Second headline, Bluey event turned into total fiasco.
I'm still trying to get over that sign episode. I don't know whether or not I can go that way again.
And number three, driver handed a ticket for using McDonald's app in drive-thru.
Let's go ahead and do that because I'm on my app all the time when it comes to McDonald's. Pay me, McDonald's. I'm also loving it. Thank you.
You may want to reconsider that. I know, Raven, that you talk all the time about using your McDonald's app and it saves you money. You never pay more than $6.49 for a meal and all the nonsense that comes
crazy,
out of your mouth.
Yo. I mean, I got two value meals last week, both of them $6.49. Bang!
Okay. Well, a man in Canada claims that he was swiping through the McDonald's app while waiting in the drive-thru, and that's when a police officer ticketed him. Here he is talking about it.
Barely even moving, I'm just rolling. And I go like this to open up my McDonald's app. And I look in my rearview mirror, and there's a motorcycle cop behind me. Show him, I'm like, I'm on my McDonald's app. I'm loading up the code right now to get a free meal. I did think he was just going to let me go, because I'm just trying to get a free meal. Turns out to be a very expensive lunch.
Spoiler alert, he did not get a free meal. He did not get let go. He did get a ticket for being on his app while in the drive-thru, and it cost $580.
What's happening up there in Canada? Isn't this the same place where they were like, leave your car keys out front so that the car thieves won't break into your house?
It's true. If you missed that.
So what is happening here? You're in a line. You're in a drive-thru line. You're not driving down the expressway. You're in a line, and you're going to the window to order.
You know, I always found this interesting, and I've been thinking about it a lot lately, because as we've become so reliant on our phones for everything, like,
I pay with my phone everything. I use my wallet for everything. I can't even remember the last time I took my actual wallet out of my purse.
Most places that you shop nowadays, they require you to pull out your phone. Get back in your corner, Justin Timberlake.
So if you pull up to a drive-thru and you have your phone in your hand and you're scanning to pay,
right?
Are you breaking the law? Because you're not supposed to have your phone. You're not supposed to be using the phone. You're not parked. You're not. Your car's not off.
I'm guessing that if you go to the court system, you're going to go ahead and get this ticket nollied. All right, you need to go up there and plead your case with the Mounties or the whatever it is that they have up there in Canada.
Do they wear those big hats still? Or,
I think
no.
So. They do.
Do they arrest people on horses?
I've got a friend up there. He's in Border Patrol. And
does he ride a horse?
No, he's... It's INS, so I don't know. It's just like American horse, maybe. Maybe American horse. I don't know.
If you get pulled
I think he's
over,
got a truck.
If you get pulled over
personally.
On a horse,
yeah,
is it better than getting pulled over by the cop on the motorcycle?
No, because you got to be really drunk for somebody to see that you are drunk on a horse. What do you know about it, Timberlake? Just shush your mouth.
I mean, he just keeps coming out of nowhere.
I'm not going to pay full price for these apps.
Feels like it doesn't matter how old you are. Every once in a while, you are forced to eat something that you don't want to eat. And you just like, oh, gosh, just let me survive it.
I mean, if you've got to go ahead and put on the face for somebody that you're visiting with or, you know, it's all that's left or whatever. Or you've done something wrong with the meal that you're preparing. Sometimes you just find yourself in that spot.
Yeah, I felt so messed up when you were telling me about your poor grandson, what you made him eat for the first time.
I mean, so we started with peas, pureed peas. Yesterday was the first time that he had string beans. And here's the thing. It's like you're making a baby peas, fresh carrots or anything like that. They're all cold by the time they make it to the high chair.
Baby food is so nasty.
You know what I mean? Like, that's disgusting. It's nasty going in. It's nasty coming out the back. We have nobody to blame but ourselves. Why did we decide these were the things for them to eat?
It's so weird.
It's terrible.
But even, like, that's a baby. Like, I'm a grown adult, and I recently found out that I have a ton of problems, including celiac disease and this other disease called CSID, where there's very few things I can eat. I'm still navigating it. But... my best friend, Danielle, who's the greatest person in the whole world.
So thoughtful.
She's a saint. She went and deep dived everything and made me food to bring to work so I would have food to eat at work. And she hands me this mason jar and it looks like fish eggs in there. It just looks like half filled with cream fish eggs is what it looks like.
You know what? To me, it looked like the fish eggs or blueberries floating, but it looked like it was floating in dirty clay.
It was so...
It looked like it was something that you got on the side of like a pond or a stream or something like that. And frogs were definitely pregnant in this area.
She hands it to me. She's like, this is 3 servings. I go, oh, okay.
You're thinking to yourself, if you take a shot of this. And you survive like you're a hero.
Well, long story short, it's chia pudding.
Yeah.
And I ate it and I liked it. And the first thing I did was I smelled it. And Raven's like, don't smell it.
I mean, you opened it. And I was, you know, I'm over here rooting for you. And I was like, you're never going to make it through. But to be fair, you know what? When you put it with whatever it was else that she sent in the other package.
Yeah.
It smelled good.
Yeah. She did a good job. She did a
smelled
great
good.
Job. And I ate it. And I was like. Yeah, no, I'm into
this. I can
eat
this.
Sometimes you try things and you like it, and sometimes you try it and you don't. What were you forced to eat? 1-800-330-9999. Jenna.
Oh, my gosh. So I grew up in a black household, and my grandma, whatever she fed us, we had to eat it. Chitlins. Oh, my God.
Oh.
You didn't like them?
No, the texture is just terrible. It's like fatty and... My God, I cannot stand the smell before she cleaned them and cooked them, because once I grew up and figured out what it was, I honestly had a little attitude with my grandma, because how dare you?
Wait, but what is it? I mean, I always hear them, but I never know what they actually are.
I mean, it's everything that's kind of left over, but some people go deeper than others, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Poop intestines.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It could be or you do the neck and all that stuff. It could be any of that stuff. But for other people, it's a... A little bit more involved.
Yeah, a little bit.
They don't waste anything.
I don't think I want to try that. Just knowing what it is. Right.
Just salt on everything fixes everything, in my opinion. But that's just me. Right. When you get a piece that just won't give in, that you can't cut through with a knife, and you can't rip with your teeth, you just got to give up on that piece and then not wonder about what it was. That's all.
I swallow it like a pill.
Oh. that's it.
Were you ever forced to eat something? Did you like it?
Hmm.
This past week, my best friend made me chia pudding, but it looked like tiny little fish eggs and smelled kind of weird. But she's my best friend, and she's trying to help me because I have celiac disease and this other weird allergy, and I had to eat it. And you want to know what? Not bad!
One time when I was 17, I was at a concert with a bunch of friends, and they made me take a sip of Canadian Mist whiskey so that I couldn't tell. Not really the same thing, but it was gross.
Sounds gross.
Yeah, it was gross.
Yeah.
Very gross.
1-800-330-9999. Katie, what were you forced to eat?
Sheep eyeballs.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
It tasted like chicken. I was on a summer program on a Navajo reservation.
Yep.
Doing community service. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to thank us. They did like a whole barbecue. And you know how like they wanted to make sure they used every part.
Right, of course.
And I tried the pickle.
Yeah, you know, I mean, this is a cultural thing, right?
Absolutely.
So you did exactly the right thing. Somebody offers you food, you are visiting with them and their people, then you are to eat that food.
My dad has, like, men's nights at his restaurants where he just invites all his friends. And, I mean, you know, they're all from Italy. And they eat the eyes. They eat it. Like,
they eat weird stuff.
They do.
Yes, it's right, right. When you're in the woods, you've been working all day, you're out with a bunch of guys, I mean, things can happen.
They're not in the woods. They're in a restaurant.
Well, I mean, still, they're a bunch of guys. Sometimes they do weird stuff. Right.
Antonio, what did you have to eat?
Sea urchin soup.
Oh, how was that?
It smelled like blood because of all the iodine.
Oh, my gosh.
And my mother was going through a divorce at the time.
Yeah.
And after I threw it up, she was angry and made me.
Oh, mommy dearest.
We can't.
I'm sure your mother was a wonderful woman in other ways, but that night she was Satan.
She was having a rough day.
She is wonderful.
She was having a rough day. That's traumatic. Sir, I have a therapist. He is wonderful. His name is Tom. I will give you his number. Hold on, please.
Yeah, needless to say, I don't like seafood that much.
No.
I don't blame you.
No.
That'll scar you for life. Ray, what were you forced to eat?
Rutabaga. I had never heard of it before, but my mom was cooking it one day, and the whole kitchen, the whole downstairs of the house smelled like a middle school gym locker room. And I wish I could say that it tasted any better, but it was just like putting a sweaty sock in my mouth. I couldn't stand it.
What is rutabaga? Am I the only one that doesn't know what that is?
It's like it was almost like a turnip, I think. I'm trying to remember. It's been a long time since I had it, but I definitely had it growing up. The whole house would smell like rutabaga when you came in. I don't know. Some people hated it. Some people actually loved it.
It's a sweet and nutrient-packed root vegetable.
Yeah.
It's a hybrid between a turnip and wild cabbage.
See,
wow.
I knew it was somewhat related.
Okay.
I knew it, man.
I heard rutabaga. I thought lubega.
Yeah.
You know, Mambo number 5?
Or some sort of vehicle.
Yes.
Right. Something like that.
Yeah.
Right. The Studebaga.
Yeah. Would you eat it again? Did you like it?
I mean, I didn't like it, but I think there's been enough time between then and now that I'd be willing to give it a second try. You know, I'll try anything twice, but I've been holding off on that one.
Forget that. If you need a rutabaga, would you eat a lubega or a studebaga? No?
Studebaga.
Yeah. All right, why not?
It's time for Mommy's Margarita Friday.
Come to Mama.
Anna and Raven.
What did you do this week to earn your margarita? Yeah, maybe it was something difficult. Maybe it was something silly. Maybe you're just happy it's over. This is your chance just to vent and let us know how your week went. 1-800-330-9999. Jamie, what did you do this week to earn your margarita?
Well, I had 10 surgeries in the past 2 years. And this past week, I've had 2 surgeries in 10 days. And I have 2 kids and a husband. So I believe I deserve a mega margarita. And a pen exploded in my brand new dryer as I was in the hospital.
Right.
A pen exploded in your dryer?
Don't know how to do that.
Yeah.
Yes, because my husband.
There's a lot going on here, Jamie.
It's been hell.
Yeah, it sounds like hell.
Yeah.
I mean, as long as it's not going to counteract with your medications that you're currently on, I would definitely suggest a margarita.
Oh, no. And I have another surgery that got postponed until June.
Jamie, give us the info we really need. What is the status of the clothes that were in the dryer with the pen?
Oh, they're all over his T-shirts, all over his work clothes. It's okay. He's got to wear it.
Yeah, he's got to deal with it now.
Yeah, it's a badge now. Right. It's part
deal with it.
Part of the penance. Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, you enjoy your margarita, Jamie. You deserved it.
I will. Thank you.
Thanks. Madison, what did you do this week to earn your margarita?
I went to the gynecologist.
That's it? That's all you did?
Congratulations, I guess.
That's enough, I think.
Let me ask you a very girl question. Do you hide your underwear when you go to the gynecologist? Is that something that all women do or just me?
What?
Like when you take your clothes off, right?
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, I hide my underwear like under my clothes. Like I feel like my underwear can't be on top. Do you do that, Madison?
Absolutely.
What?
Well, yeah.
I saw a meme
the
other day about it.
Exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, and I was like, wait, I can't believe I'm the only one. Anyway, so why do you think that this gynecologist appointment deserves a margarita?
Oh, you know what they do to us. It doesn't matter how many times I go. I never get used to it, and I hate it, and...
I mean, it's definitely not enjoyable.
This is a lot for me. Yeah. I'm just going to sit here.
Well, speaking of all the moms, you enjoy your margarita.
Yes.
And also, remember, if you haven't scheduled your mammogram yet, please do that. Don't forget. Not just an October awareness all the time. It's important.
Okay.
Julia, what did you do this week to earn your margarita?
So this past weekend, I volunteered to bring the snack after my daughter's soccer game. And so I emailed all the moms and told them I'd be making these homemade brownies, which are normally a big hit and my daughter requested. But within minutes, I started getting all these emails of all these different requests from a few different moms asking for different accommodations, like, oh, can you make some gluten-free brownies or sugar-free, nut-free, dairy-free, all kinds of stuff. So I initially told my daughter that I was like, I think we're going to need to change the snack. This is getting too complicated. But she got really upset, and she said that she already told her teammates how good they were, and she was excited to make friends with them. So anyway, I ended up making 4 different batches of brownies in order to suit their various needs. And now I'm exhausted and need a margarita.
Yeah.
You know what? Good work.
Right.
Good work. It's not easy. And it's not easy. It's harder today than ever, I think. And I know that some people would resent hearing that said, but it's important.
You did a good job. And you want to know what? You did it for your daughter. That's really who you did it for, not for everybody else. So
right.
You deserve your margarita for sure.
I'm sure your husband didn't have any problems with the spillover brownies being eaten too, right? It's like, wait a minute, another batch? Great.
Enjoy your margarita.
Thank you so much.
One couple.
Why would he go all the way to Oregon for this job when our life isn't there?
One problem.
Create so many opportunities for the family. I mean, we already have one kid in college already. And
you decide the outcome.
I think that it's going to be really hard on us.
It's just going to create so many opportunities.
Go and take work, guys. Good luck.
It's Couple Score on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about. And then you just have to decide who's right. Jeff and Emma. Emma, what's going on?
It's me and Jeff. We've got 2 kids. John, he is 14, and Kate, 13. And, you know, with everything going on in the world and school being kind of crazy nowadays, I just think we would benefit if we all just went on Life 360.
Okay. For people that aren't familiar, what is Life 360?
It's an app on your phone, kind of like Find My iPhone, but it tracks where you go. It sends you notifications letting you know that, like, Jeff made it to work, Kate made it to school, and made it to soccer practice. So it's not that expensive. I think it was like $25 per month. They send you unlimited everything, and I just think it would be really awesome.
Okay, so what's the problem with that, Jeff? To me, it seems great. You get to know where your family is, where your kids are all the time. Oh, yeah. Kind of track them.
I mean, I can guess what he's going to say. Jeff, go ahead.
Yeah, well, it's just, I mean, how are these kids ever going to think that we trust them or that we trust that they're going to, you know, be responsible adults if we don't do it, you know, if we don't show them that now? I think it's a bit of an invasion of privacy. I think, our parents didn't have that when we were kids. And I didn't get kidnapped or, you know, anything like anything crazy like that, or get in super trouble or get arrested by the cops or anything. I just think this has gone too far. It's just gone way too far.
I mean, to be clear, if you were being tracked, it wouldn't stop you if you were breaking the law and getting arrested anyway. So, I mean, you know what? I mean, I've actually heard this discussion more often lately, and it's not the privacy concerns between the couple, because most of us would like to know where the other one is. I mean, for safety's sake alone. But with the kids, the argument has been that it could be a bit of an invasion of privacy. Let me just ask Emma, why pay for a service when you can just turn the locators on your phone, right? Like, I mean, iPhone will do this for you for free, or Android will do this for free if you just turn on your locator systems.
Yeah, I mean, I totally get that it can feel like an invasion of privacy, but the app does so much more. Like, if I'm not mistaken, and, you know, I'm not looking at it right now or anything, but they have, like, roadside assistance. They have car accident assistance. I just want everybody to be safe and sound and take care of. And it's not about that I'm trying to look at them all the time and see what they're doing and are they at Jake's house and they're not supposed to be. It's more just, like, you know, I just love everybody and I want to make sure that they're safe and they get the assistance they need when they need it.
Jeff, are you against this because you don't want to be tracked all the time, too?
No, not at all. No. And we could turn mine on for her, for, you know, but it, just for the kids, it's like, and thinking about like roadside assistance, we got AAA. And I mean,
right, you have
okay,
all those
our
things.
Phones aren't on, or we have all those. And okay, what if our phones aren't on? I mean, listen, what's going to happen in 6 years or when they're off of college or when they're 25 or when they're 30? Like, we got to teach them some resilience here. Like, if you're in a spot and mom and dad can't pick up the phone for whatever reason, you got to figure it out, you know? And so I just think this is going to be a hindrance to them in the long run.
I mean, okay. Do you think it's wrong to track your kids everywhere they go and use an app to do it? What do you think?
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Is it such a big deal to monitor where your kids are? Because that's what Emma wants to do. They have two daughters, Emma and Jeff, 13 and 14 years old. And she wants to get Life 360, that app, so they can all keep an eye on each other and make sure they know where each other are at all times. There's a lot of safety features built into it. But her husband, Jeff, has a real problem with that.
Yeah, he says, listen, first off, it just tells the kids that you have no belief in them whatsoever, right? You know, no matter what it is, what they're telling them, they have two kids, 14 and 13 years old. He said they have a right to privacy. And, you know, and this is just going to be some sort of obsession, a weird thing where you're peering into their lives all the time. He just doesn't think it's healthy.
She thinks it's just keeping them safe and knowing where they are. What is wrong with that? What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Who's this?
Dr. Donna Volpetta, and I teach the brain science of building resilience and fostering mental health. And the dad is spot on.
Doctor, you got 20 seconds. Tell me exactly why we should be on the dad's side.
Because we are undermining our youth mental health. Number one, if we use things like Life 360, we're giving them the message that we don't trust them. And they need to build resilience through their own experiences and handling challenges. And if we think we can out-technology our kids, we're fooling ourselves. So we need to teach them to make good decisions, not that we need to monitor everything they do.
You know, one thing I think is interesting is, like, listen, I get it. You're a parent. You want to know where your kids are. But if you're a kid, the only time you might want to know where your parents are is if you're doing something bad and they're on their way back.
I don't know about that. My daughter tracks me all the time. All the time to see where I am, how far away I am from pickup, all those things. What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Do you think tracking your kids is an invasion of their privacy? Jeff does. Jeff and Emma have two daughters, 13 and 14. Emma thinks they're at the age now where they should get Life 360, that app that basically just follows you wherever you are. It's a safety feature, lets you know where your family is. And Jeff is very much against it.
Yeah, I mean, Jeff just says, listen, they're teenagers. We have to reward them with the faith that we have in them. They're good kids. They tell us where they're going. They check in. They make the phone calls. Why is it that we would do something like this? If anything, you can turn on my locator right now if you want.
Yeah, but
with the kids, you got to respect them.
It's not a trust thing. It's just a safety thing.
Yeah, but that's what people will say. So it's not a trust thing for Emma, but it might be a trust thing for everybody else around her. That's the problem.
What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Alicia, whose side are you on?
I'm on the husband's side. I mean, I have three kids. Now they're 22, 20, and 19, and we never did the Life 360. I agree. I actually think it's almost a little addicting. I've gone out with friends, and they're constantly looking at their phone. Oh, look, he's at the deli. Oh, it's 12:30. He's here. I think I personally don't think it's good.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Understood.
I've heard a lot of moms, like, they can't go to bed until right. They see the car pull into the driveway.
Right. It's crazy, right?
Mark, who's side are you on?
I'm on his side, though. It's a totally invasion of privacy, and children that would just grow up thinking that their parents, they never trusted them. So I'm on his side.
You know, that is a terrible feeling, right? To feel like your parents have no faith in you, no trust in you. And even if it's not that, I understand that's not, Emma's angle. But, you know, as a teenager, I think you're probably going to feel that at times.
Maybe. But I feel like my daughter would know that, like, mommy trusts her. Mommy believes in her. Mommy knows she's going to make the right decisions. But mommy's always scared. And I'm always want to make sure you're okay. And if something happens, I want to be notified right away.
But wouldn't your daughter call you?
I mean, what if she was in an accident? She couldn't call me.
I mean, you have an iPhone that flips upside down, does the same thing. Life 360, I mean, it doesn't seem any different. Hey, Nicole, what do you think about this? Whose side are you on today?
I am on the mom side. My mom, when I was a teenager, had us download Life 360, so I have it. I'm 27 now. Never once felt like it was an invasion of privacy. I got it. She just wanted to know where we are, know that we were safe. And one of the cool features about it is it has circles, so you can have different, like, tracking things. So I have one for my family, my friends, my boyfriend and I use it. I just think it's a great app.
Yeah.
Are you tracking me right now?
I mean, my family tracks me all the time, and I didn't even know. For years, I didn't know. They just set it up and did it, and I had no idea.
Nobody better be tracking me right now.
My daughter will text me and be like, I can see you're 4 minutes away from school pickup. I'm like, what?
That's
how?
Creepy.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Jeff, our audience agreed with you. It may seem like an invasion of privacy, and even though it seems like a good safety thing, essentially it's just micromanaging your kids and being a helicopter mom, and at some point they're going to have to be able to go off and do things on their own.
That's what I've been trying to say. I don't want that for my kids. I don't want us to be this kind of parents either.
You know, Emma, I think that... Listen, these companies do a great job of making you, you know, prey on your fears, basically, right? And that's not to say that bad things don't happen. Some people would call me somewhat paranoid or whatever. But, you know, paying attention to what's going on in your neighborhood and knowing where your kids is, there's nothing wrong with that. It's the rest of the stuff that they start to add on this. And they make it all look like it's just an amenity that makes your life so much easier. But in reality, it changes things, right? So maybe talk to the kids and see how they would feel about giving up their location or whatever. You didn't get the votes today, but that doesn't mean that there's not some merit in knowing where your kids are.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that.
If you have a problem, too, send an email, couplescourt@annonraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Be Raven Cash Jackpot is $3,400 thanks to NHTSA. Crashes can happen to even the safest of drivers. That's where driver assistance technologies like blind spot intervention come in. Learn more at NHTSA.com/driver tech, paid for by NHTSA. All right, Chris, you ready to play today?
I am.
Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, will you please leave the room?
You got it. Good luck, Chris.
All right, Chris, Raven's walking out of here. That door is going to close. He can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. Today, they all have to do with literature. Get more right than Raven, you're going to win, okay? Here's the thing, though. If it's a tie, it goes to Raven. 3 seconds to answer each one. Ready to do it?
You got it.
Number one, Tom Hardy will star in a London-based play of Romeo and Juliet. Romeo and Juliet is a tragedy written by who?
Shakespeare.
Number two, the couple who owns Marilyn Monroe's home is suing the city for the right to demolish the home. Opposers want to see it preserved as a historic site. Marilyn had a couple high-profile marriages, including the author of Death of a Salesman. Who was that?
Miller.
Number three, Judi Dench thinks that trigger warnings are ruining the viewer experience and says, if you're that sensitive, don't go to the theater. She first made her professional debut in 1957, starring in many Shakespeare plays, such as Hamlet, Romeo and Juliet, and the one about a man getting a prophecy from 3 witches about becoming the King of Scotland. Which one is that?
Othello.
Number four, Stephen King announced that later this month he's releasing a book of stories called You Like It Darker. The audiobook will be narrated by Stephen King and the actor that played Colonel Dan Weaver in the TV series Falling Skies. Who's that?
No idea.
And number five, a new trailer for the upcoming Wicked movie has Ariana Grande and Cynthia Erivo singing popular and defying gravity. Wicked is based on The Wizard of Oz, which is an adaptation of the novel by L. Frank Baum. But what was the novel actually called?
Over the Rainbow?
All right, let me bring Raven back in.
Yo.
All right, 2 out of 5 for Chris.
Oh, not great. Whew, that's good. I'm so relieved with your tricks.
It's all literature questions.
Oh, my gosh. Why?
Number one, Tom Hardy will star in a London-based play of Romeo and Juliet. Romeo and Juliet is a tragedy written by who?
Shakespeare.
Yes. Number two, the couple who owns Marilyn Monroe's house is suing the city for the right to demolish the home, and opposers want to see it preserved as a historic site.
Yeah.
Marilyn had a couple high-profile marriages, including to the one, the author of Death of a Salesman. Who was that? What's his name?
Arthur Miller.
Arthur Miller is correct. Name one other author, one other book that he wrote besides Death of a Salesman.
I don't know. I only know him because he was married to her.
Crucible. Number three, Judi Dench.
Sounds like a good one.
That trigger warnings are ruining the viewer experience and says if you're sensitive, don't go to the theater. She first made her professional debut in 1957, starring in many Shakespeare plays such as Hamlet, Romeo and Juliet, and the one about a man getting a prophecy from three witches about becoming the king of Scotland. Which one is that?
I'm just going to take a shot and say Macbeth.
Macbeth is correct.
Yeah!
Number four, Stephen King announced that later this month he's releasing a book of stories called You Like It Darker.
Yes!
The audiobook will be narrated by Stephen King and the actor that played Colonel Dan Weaver in the TV series Falling Skies. Who is that?
I didn't watch that.
It's Will Patton.
You got a Stephen King question that I didn't get?
Yep.
That's a dirty trick right there.
I know. It makes me feel good about myself. Number five, a new trailer for the upcoming Wicked movie has Ariana Grande and Cynthia Erivo singing Popular and defying gravity.
It looks so good.
Wicked is based on The Wizard of Oz, which is an adaptation of the novel by L. Frank Baum. But what was that novel actually called?
I'm going to take a shot. I got two guesses here. The Wizard or simply Oz?
No. And you both are wrong. It's The Wonderful Wizard of Oz.
Fine.
All right, I'm sorry, Chris. He beat you 3-2 today. That's going to get you an Ann on Raven t-shirt.
All right, thank you. Can't beat Ray.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, man. $3,500.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.